Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's a beautiful day here in the Northeast, a little cooler as we begin the weekend. And it was cool enough to take a nice, comfortable run this morning, and weather's great for paddle boarding. And I hope that you're having a great weekend. 888-302-3684 is our number. We got lots to talk about on today's Intelligent Medicine. Among the stories that I want to tackle this hour, in addition to your phone calls, a new study on the benefits of organic foods. This is highly controversial because some studies have said you're basically wasting your money buying organic foods. They have an aura of superiority, and people are snobs and they want their food organic, but basically you're wasting your money, so buy conventional produce. Well, no, according to a big study in the British Journal of Nutrition that just came out this week. We'll drill down and analyze that study in just a moment. 888-302-3684. And before we get to your phone calls, I want to talk about one of the big stories this week. It made the evening news on many of the networks, and it has to do with niacin. Did any of you hear the story about niacin as a cholesterol-lowering drug? And indeed, it is a drug. Niacin is niaspan, an extended release form of niacin. Accounts for $1 billion worth of sales, and it's a commonly used cholesterol-lowering medication. And so they did a big story, and the way they covered it on the major networks was really, they did a really poor job discussing this, because they equated the medication, which is an extended-release niacin, with the over-the-counter supplement of niacin, which is a fast-acting form of niacin, or some of the niacins that are used are intermediate-acting niacins. But the big deal here is that Merck invested in a new form of niacin called Tradaptive. Tradaptive was designed to get rid of the major problem with niacin, which is an uncomfortable flushing. And so Merck invested hundreds of millions or perhaps even billions of dollars in developing this product. It's sustained release niacin plus something called Laropiprant, which is a prostaglandin medication that blocks the flushing. I thought, this is great. You're going to get the dramatic cholesterol-reducing effects of the niacin. And it definitely reduces cholesterol, but it also has an interesting property. It'll reduce cholesterol. It'll reduce triglycerides very nicely. But it will raise HDL. So what could be better than that? The numbers look great. But the study crashed and burned. And what they found was an alarming tendency for a higher rate of problems, complications, high blood sugar, bleeding episodes, even infection. And it did not, and this is the important part of this, it didn't really reduce cardiovascular events, and it didn't, it somewhat increased the risk of death. So this is signaling a big turnaround for Merck and other drug developers. They're just going to back totally away from niacin. And the message is being broadcast that niacin is worthless and even dangerous. And, you know, I've long known that niacin has potential disadvantages, because you have to very carefully monitor niacin. There was a book that came out, I think it was in the 80s, by Kowalski, called The 8-Week Cholesterol Cure, and it featured niacin as the major intervention to get your cholesterol down. And the book recommended taking high doses of niacin. And the net result was that this guy, Dr. Kowalski, got sued because there were a certain number of people who joined in a class action suit. They had problems, particularly liver problems, with the high-dose niacin. And niacin is known to cause liver problems, you know, just like cholesterol, other cholesterol-lowering drugs. It can mess up the liver, and it's very variable. Some people tolerate the niacin at high doses and do fine, And some people, very early on, they have liver problems. I have one patient that we put on niacin very cautiously. He complained of a little nausea. And right away, I said, stop the niacin. I did a blood test, and I could see right away that his liver function numbers were sky high, with just a little bit, maybe 500 or 1,000 of niacin, relatively low doses. By the way, this does not mean that the niacin that you're taking in your multivitamin, a dosage of perhaps 25 milligrams, is going to cause a problem. That's fine. Niacin is important for staving off a nutritional disorder called pellagra, which used to be the bane of the South, southern United States. Rednecks, the origin of the term redneck is from the disease pellagra. If you didn't get enough niacin in your diet, you would develop a type of dermatitis, which gave you a red neck, like a necklace of red around your neck. A little historical fact has to do with, little known historical fact has to do with the disease pellagra, which is a niacin deficiency disorder. So the problem here is there's actually evidence that niacin on its own, in a form that's not extended release, that is, unfortunately, the trade-off is the extended release minimizes the flushing, but increases the risk of systemic problems. So the flushing is uncomfortable, but actually, I tell patients they have to put up with it, because if I give them the extended release, it doesn't cause so much flushing, they're going to be in danger. And over the years, I've used less and less niacin. I've found less need to use niacin. And the bottom line is that things that seem to fix your cholesterol numbers do not necessarily make you live longer or avoid heart attacks. That's the problem with some of the statin drugs, is that while the numbers look good, you may still be at higher risk. So the evidence for niacin dates back to the 70s and 80s when they did a study, very interesting study. They looked at the overall risk of death for people who had taken niacin, and they found that the death rate in people who had taken niacin was 11% lower than in the people who'd taken a placebo. So they got them going, and that got people thinking that niacin was going to be a great bulwark against cardiovascular disease. But unfortunately, the subsequent studies have not been that strong. And part of the problem is they use the extended release or slow release form of niacin, which may be more dangerous. Also, they team it with a medication called Laripiprant, which I'll give you the chemical name. It's cyclopentindole-4,7-fluoro-1,2,3,4-tetrahydro-5-methylsulfonylacetic acid. And that is, I mean, who knows what you do to a person's system when you add this highly synthetic compound to good old-fashioned niacin. It may amplify the negative effects of niacin. Niacin is also something not to be taken if you're diabetic, because it can cause your blood sugar to deteriorate. And oh, by the way, that's been found with statin drugs as well, but to a greater extent in patients taking niacin. So it's not for people with blood sugar problems, which is a lot of people who have high cholesterol. They may even have borderline problems, metabolic syndrome, with a hemoglobin A1C that's 5.9 or 6, and taking niacin might make that worse. So niacin, in my opinion, is becoming a less than ideal way of fixing your cholesterol. You know, maybe there's some people who have isolated high triglycerides. Perhaps there's some effectiveness of niacin in lowering something called LP little a, which is an uncommon risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And niacin may be useful for some of those people. I have still have some patients on niacin, but I'm carefully monitoring them. They're doing fine. But more and more evidence suggests that niacin is crashing and burning as a cardiovascular preventive. And unfairly, niacin that's present in B-complex vitamins or multivitamins is being tarred with the negative connotations that niacin at high doses has in an extended release form, and I think that that's unfair. So, yeah, there's my, what I hope is a more balanced perspective on the niacin controversy. 888-302-3684. We'll start taking your phone calls in just a moment on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and Richard from Valley Stream, New York. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, doctor. I was telling your call screener there that I went to my cardiologist about a month and a half ago, and he did a routine EKG. He found I had an irregular heartbeat, and he put me on a monitor for 30 days.
Right.
And that monitor came back. They said that the diagnosis was parax atrial tachycardia.
Mm-hmm. And let me just correct you what you're saying there. Paroxysmal atrial tachycardia, or PATs, which is it's not atrial fibrillation, but it's like bouts of rapid heart rate, like runs of a rapid pulse that can be it's less dangerous than atrial fibrillation, but it is nonetheless of some concern.
Right, and it seems to happen more. The two episodes I had over that 30-day period that were the large ones were at nighttime. They were from like 12 mm-hmm. at night to like 8, 10 o'clock in the morning, and then they just, they disappeared mm-hmm. on their own.
Right.
And I've been just wondering what I can do. I mean, he put me on an aspirin regimen, an 81 milligram for now, and he's just going to check me every couple of weeks, I guess.
And he didn't put you on something to slow your heart rate?
No, because my heart rate is actually normally, my pulse is like when I wake up in the morning, my pulse is only about 48, 50. I already mm-hmm. have a very
slow pulse.
My blood pressure is very low, too, and my heart rate is
so that's very low. That's the reason. He made a clinical decision not to put you on a beta blocker because at times your heart rate is too slow. So you wouldn't mm-hmm. want to slow it too much, and you wouldn't want to lower your blood pressure too much. Otherwise, you might feel weak and woozy and literally hit the deck. So he just said, well, thin your blood because there's a slightly higher risk of a blood clot forming if your heart races like that. But, I mean, this is not a particular, this is what's called a benign arrhythmia. That's like, an honest politician or a virtuous prostitute. Sounds like an oxymoron. But, a benign arrhythmia means, we checked it out. It's not really that dangerous. Go ahead and take 81 milligrams of aspirin as a somewhat, minor preventive, and don't worry about it too much. But there are some things you can do. Number one, you have to eliminate caffeinated beverages from your routine. You don't want to really be taking stimulants. Number two, alcohol, it tends to cause the heart to race. Not at first, it relaxes you, but then there's a rebound where your heart may race. Keeping your blood sugar stable is very important. If you were a patient of mine with this problem, I'd order a glucose tolerance test to make sure you're not hypoglycemic, because bouts of hypoglycemia can trigger rapid heart rate. I'd measure your magnesium, because taking magnesium is helpful for stabilizing the heart rhythm. And magnesium taurate is the most effective for rate control, so you may want to take 2 or 4 or even 6 magnesium taurates. They're not very strong, so you can take more. The only side effect is if you take too many, you get a little bit of a laxative effect, but not too much with magnesium taurate. And consider fish oil, because fish oil also has antiarrhythmic effects, and a little bit of a blood thinner, too, as an insurance policy against a blood clot. And so those are some of the main things that you could be doing to alleviate this problem. Hawthorn is an herb that has a heart rate stabilizing effect. You can get it. Cractagus is its botanical name. And, that's something that you may consider using for regulating your rate. And are you physically active? Are you a guy who exercises?
Yeah, I am. In fact, that's one of the things I was going to ask you about. I do take more. I used to do a lot of running. I ran the New York City Marathon a couple of times, but now I do a lot of walking.
What's interesting that you say that, because actually the incidence of arrhythmias is higher in former marathoners. It seems that it may do damage to the heart or enlarge the heart and put you slightly at higher risk for arrhythmias later in life. That's actually one of the counter things about, you know, really high-end endurance athleticism. Although it's generally good for you, that there is, I mean, statistically, there's a higher risk of what you're experiencing if you did that kind of high-mileage training and working out.
Which but I anyway, did for a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can still exercise, though normally
absolutely.
It wouldn't
be. Absolutely. You absolutely can exercise, and it would be good, but exercise moderately, you know, use a heart rate monitor just get in the zone. Get in the zone of, like, you know, 110 or 120, a comfortable exertional zone. Don't go in a red zone, you know, with heart rate going 200. That would mean that you're going too far with this. But, those are some of the things you can do. I mean, this is a real common situation. Not dangerous, but annoying. And let's see if we can get on top of it. All right? Let's take a call now from Kathleen, who's in Brooklyn, New York. How you doing, Kathleen?
Dr. Hoffman?
Hi there.
Yes, dear. I've gone to a number of nutritionists, and I have, Dr. Hoffman, it's about 7 or 8 years, and I just can't get rid of this candida problem. I tried.
How does it manifest that you have a candida problem? How do you know that you have that?
I have been taking, through the years, Dr. Hoffman, I've been taking a number of antibiotics, and I never took acidophilus or probiotics because, you know what, they give me a stomach ache, and I ordered Burberry, and that also gives me cramps in my stomach.
But do you have yeast infections? Do you have any obvious manifestations of candida?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I mean, look, this is a problem, and what we used to refer to as candida, we now refer to as dysbiosis, which is, you know, a broader term. It means that you may have a bacterial imbalance as well as a yeast imbalance, and the fact that you react negatively to probiotics may mean that you have such disordered intestinal bacteria that just adding a new one, you know, sets things off in an unpredictable way. There's some people who don't do well with certain probiotics. They have a reverse effect. So, look, I mean, you're the type of patient who, you know, we often see, patients who have been through rounds of antibiotics, they've been through rounds of natural antifungals. Some of them have even taken medications. It's tough to restore balance in the intestinal tract, and we have to be ingenious with the application of natural botanicals. Sometimes we'll use nystatin, or sometimes we'll use diflucan. But long-term, these medications fail to remedy the problem. They just get rid of the problem temporarily. And it's a matter of restoring balance intestinally. And this is a challenging thing. Some people say, well, what specific thing can I take? Is there a magic bullet? One of the products that I'm using these days is actually a couple of products. There's two different parts to the Candibactin product by Metagenics that we're beginning to use with patients who have dysbiosis or small intestine bacterial overgrowth. Sometimes candida or yeast is part and parcel of that, or it's the dominant species. But, you know, we really want a broad-spectrum antifungal and antibacterial kind of program to normalize the intestinal balance, because it has so much to do with overall wellness, fatigue, allergies, even cardiovascular risk and weight can be determined by your microbiome. And tweaking the microbiome is, it's a delicate process, and we have to work diligently to make the changes. All right. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about organic foods and their advantages according to a new study. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We'll be taking your phone calls in just a moment. But before we do that, a new study this week shows that indeed organic foods are better for you than conventional produce. And a little background on this. A couple of years ago, in 2012, a big study made a splash because it alleged that organic foods really weren't more beneficial than regular conventional produce. And this even was the subject of a program on the Dr. Oz show, which actually attracted a lot of flack. I commented on it at the time because I criticized the study. And Dr. Oz interviewed a guy who I guess he was representative of the grocery industry, who said, you know, organic food's no big deal because you're paying more and they're not really more beneficial. And this new study says that they don't have greater nutrient value. So many people purchase organic foods for different reasons. In a 2010 Nielsen poll, they found that 76% of people purchase organic foods because they believe that they are, quote, healthier. 53% so that they can avoid pesticides and other toxins. 51% because they're, quote, more nutritious. And 49% because organic farming is better for the environment. So are all these people idiots? I mean, is it a hype? Organic, schmorganic? Don't tell me I got to pay 50% more for foods that are no more beneficial than the regular foods that we find in the supermarket aisles. And this 2012 study from Stanford University questioned the nutritional benefits of buying organic foods. The study found very little nutritional difference between organic and conventional produce and meat. That was in 2012. So at the time, I criticized the study because what they did in this study is they looked at levels of vitamins. And they found that organic foods don't contain higher levels of vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin A, calcium, iron, protein, or magnesium. The only exception was phosphorus, which is not that important. They did concede that non-organic produce had a 30% higher risk for pesticide contamination than organic produce. That much they found. And they also found that when children were switched to an organic diet for 5 days, they had significantly lower levels of pesticide residue in their urine. I would say that's no small feat. And from that study, you cannot conclude that organic foods are simply equivalent to regular produce. I criticized that study on the grounds that you don't measure vitamins to find out about the nutritional value of foods. And they're going to say, well, what are you talking about, Dr. Abmar? Vitamins? What you should be measuring? And well, here's the answer. Here's the answer. And the answer comes to us from a new study that just came out this week. Higher antioxidant concentrations and less cadmium and pesticide residues were found in organically grown crops, according to a meta-analysis published in the British Journal of Nutrition on July 11th, 2014. The study has three main findings. They found that, number one, organic crops have on the average higher levels of antioxidants than conventional crops. Organic crops have lower cadmium levels than conventional crops. Cadmium is a dangerous heavy metal that can damage the kidneys, increase blood pressure, set you up for cardiovascular and neurological disease. And three, pesticide residues are present much more frequently in conventional crops than organic ones. Now, what's the difference? The one study showed there was a difference, and the other study showed there wasn't a difference. The Stanford study in 2012, no difference. The British Journal of Nutrition study in 2014, more antioxidants. Well, what was the difference? Well, the key is they measured the right thing in 2014. They measured what are called polyphenols. Polyphenols are not necessarily vitamins. They are substances with names that are sort of esoteric. flavonones and still beans and flavanols and anthocyanins. These are the polyphenol antioxidants that are present in fresh produce. And the numbers were dramatic. 69% higher levels of flavonones, 28% higher levels of still beans, 50% higher levels of flavanols, and 51% higher levels of anthocyanins. So what's up with that? Why should that be? Why should organic produce be richer in nutrients? That doesn't even make sense because, you know, you put potent fertilizer in the ground, synthetic fertilizer, and the plants grow real big. And, you know, they have they look like, you know, giant inflated versions of puny, small organic plants. So why should there be a greater concentration of these beneficial polyphenols in the organic plants, which are less pumped up? And in effect, you know, these are like the conventional produce is like it's on steroids. You ever see the size of some of the apples and the oranges and the things that come from advanced agricultural techniques? Well, the reason is they talk about a dilution effect. When more intensive fertilization or irrigation is used to drive crop yields upward, plants utilize the extra energy to produce starch and carbohydrates. So what you get is you get a sugary, starchier plant, and it, you know, you might get some extraordinary taste characteristics and size characteristics, but the amount of the actual beneficial nutrients in the plant is correspondingly or proportionally reduced. So you got a big overinflated orange or apple or watermelon, but the actual nutrient content is diluted or diminished. And that's the advantage of organic produce. I mean, you're not going to get these artificial growth factors that make the plants grow to colossal size, and the yields are less, maybe less profits for the agricultural industry, but more benefits for you, the consumer, less toxins. That was already acknowledged in 2012, but they think, oh, you know, better living through chemistry. Oh, the hazards of these environmental toxins, pesticides are exaggerated, so, you know, you can have as much as you want. Don't worry. Well, yeah, worry, because you know, there are hazards and harmful effects of pesticides. But in addition, you're getting a better deal in terms of the nutrition when you purchase organic foods. You'll find this on the website at the British Journal of Nutrition. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We'll take a call from close to home, Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Diane.
I'm taking for my high blood pressure these blue water pills, chlorothalidone. Now, yep. I tried other things and it didn't work. And I tried before that for years, nutritional things that I talked to you about even. That didn't mm-hmm. work. I don't know, my father had it, whatever. So this is the thing. Lately, for at least a week, I've been getting pains about on my left side towards the back, like I think that's where your kidneys are, and mm-hmm. it's making me very nervous. And they tell me, you know, when I called up the pharmacy, and they said, oh, no, there's no side effects. But this affects your
urine. I mean, of course there are side effects. Of course there are side effects to water pills.
No, but you know, let's
they can affect the kidneys. But here's the thing. You know, if you're having pain in the area of one kidney or another, one side or another, the chances are greater that it's musculoskeletal. I mean, because usually the demographic or the age group where people are taking blood pressure pills is the same demographic where back pain is extraordinarily common. So, I mean, well, you might think, I mean, you're a smart lady and you know that one of the side effects of water pills, that they can damage the kidneys. So you're thinking, well, gee, I have pain in the area of the kidneys. You know, you can look it up in innumerable places and you say, well, gee, kidney pain, that's not good. But, you know, the way to evaluate that is just make sure you get a BUN and creatinine blood test. And if your BUN, go ahead. Yeah. Did you have one done?
Could you spell that, please?
Well, just bun, like, you know, put a bun in the oven.
Bun.
You know, BUN.
Oh,
and
that's
a creatinine.
It. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
CR is the abbreviation for creatinine. Your doctor will know what that is. And, you know, also get a urinalysis, because a urinalysis might show that there's blood in the urine or protein in the urine, which could be a sign of kidney damage. But otherwise, you know, I would go back to the theory that you may just experience some degree of back pain or strain. And, you know, it could be postural. It could be, you know, just, you know, it's kind of like the lot in life of the average middle-aged American is to have back pain periodically. And, you know, then you can engage in, you know, some of the right therapies. You can, you know, go to a chiropractor. You could get acupuncture. You can do physical therapy. You can do the right kinds of stretching or yoga to address your problem. And then, you know, divorce it from that chlorothalidone, because, I mean, there are side effects to water pills.
Mm.
You know, I don't think you're going through imminent kidney failure because you're having some back pain.
Could that cause tumors?
Tumors? No, not likely. Not likely. Why? Boy, you're really going down the pathway there.
No, because they keep denying that there's any effect on the kidneys. I mean, I heard this from the doctor, I heard this from the pharmacist,
listen.
No effect on the kidneys.
No. You see, that's like, I mean, they're treating you in a patronizing way. Of course there are effects on the kidneys. You know, the way that water pills work is they directly affect the kidneys, and they cause the kidneys to release more water. And that effect can sometimes be exaggerated. You can actually become dehydrated. You can damage the kidneys. And, you know, I don't want to put thoughts in your head. I think you're probably fine. But there's an easy way to ascertain this. You know, you can get the appropriate test to make sure you're not experiencing kidney trouble. But, I would default to the diagnosis of simply back pain or strain, which is a more likely diagnosis in this case. You know, like medicine, we don't always have to go to the most dire possibility first off. You got to check for the dangerous things. But, you know, usually if you hear there's a saying in medicine, if you hear the distant sound of hoofbeats, they're more likely to be horses than zebras or unicorns. How about that? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684, and we'll return in just a moment to Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Remember, Intelligent Medicine is just the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine phenomenon, because we've got free podcasts available for you at drhoffman.com. And this week, our clinical focus, as we march through all the ailments and nutritional themes, is adrenals. Our clinical focus on adrenals is available to you at drhoffman.com. We'll talk about how your adrenals can be too high or too low and what you can do about that via our podcast Q&A with Layla every week, and also great interviews. So check out drhoffman.com. We got a great interview with Dr. Nick Gonzalez this week on the subject of, is a ketogenic diet the answer for cancer? Check it out at drhoffman.com. All right, let's talk now to Christina. Welcome.
Yes. How are you doing, doctor?
Hi.
My dad just recently had a pacemaker put in, and mm-hmm. you know what vitamins should he be taking or not, so not to, you know, to avoid.
This is for someone who's had a pacemaker put in?
Yes, my dad had a pacemaker put in recently.
Well, you know, it depends, because of people who have had pacemakers put in have heart problems.
I mean, he's 35,
He's 35?
Five.
Wait, 35 and he had a pacemaker put in?
85.
That's a... I'm sorry. Oh, 85. Okay. So it was slow. Okay. So look, obviously we want to work on heart support. So the things that we would consider for someone who's had a pacemaker put in, by the way, having a pacemaker put in when you're, I thought 35, when we say 85, having a pacemaker put in when you're 85 is kind of like having braces when you're a teenager. You know, it's like very common and not a big deal. People live long and you know, relatively productive lives for decades with pacemakers, so not a biggie anymore. So coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol will support heart. Magnesium is going to help heart rhythm. We might also suggest L-carnitine. That could be very helpful for a person with a heart problem. Fish oil, of course, really important. And, you know, usually just depending on what, you know, this person's other health issues might be, you know, we generally do when I see a patient who's 85, we do an overall assessment. You know, we check for levels of vitamins and minerals and supplements. And we try to determine, you know, what would be optimal for them. And based on an individual assessment, we then treat the patient accordingly. There's no one-size-fits-all approach at the Hoffman Center. And, you know, that's how we might address this kind of situation. So, there's no protocol for someone who has a pacemaker. Pacemaker already helps with a heart rate that's going too slow. It'll trigger heartbeats via an electrical impulse. So no longer is it in the realm of, you know, which vitamin is going to regularize the heart rate, because we're already using a pacemaker, probably medications to control the heart rate. But supporting heart function is important, because obviously the need for a pacemaker signals deterioration of the heart muscle and the electrical system that controls heart rate. So those are some of the considerations. All right. So, well, thank you very much for joining us. Make sure that you check out our website at drhoffman.com for podcasts. And when you're there, you can subscribe to our newsletter. Our newsletter each week with articles. This week, I did an article which is a retrospective on my 30 years of practice. And I look back on some of the issues where we nailed it. We got it right. 30 years later, these practices that I initiated in the 1980s has stood the test of time. So check it out. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter as well, because we transmit information in a variety of ways via the social media. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.